This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
So Monday nights we're talking about and going through akhlaq and adab. Last week, what did we talk about? Anyone remember? Yes. Yes, mashallah. This young man, mashallah, who just made the iqamah today. So he's saying that we talked about salam, making salam to each other and so forth. What are the adab of making salam to each other? Today, inshallah, we're talking about what are the adab as being a host and what are the adab as being a guest. And not only that, but there's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam where he says, the haqqul muslimi al muslimi khamsun, that there is a right of a Muslim upon the other Muslim, and there are five. According to another hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says there are six. But what he says in this hadith is, number one is raddu salam, responding to the salam. We talked about this last week. Number two is wa i'adatul marid, going and visiting someone who is sick. Number three, wa ittiba'ul janaiz, if there is someone who has passed away, people from the community must go and be part of the funeral process. Number four, ijabatul da'wah, responding or accepting an invitation, which we'll talk about today, inshallah. And number five is watashmitul atis, a person who has sneezed, to say alhamdulillah and so forth to that person. This is the right of a Muslim upon another Muslim. So today, inshallah, we're talking about responding or accepting the invitation of someone. Now, what does this actually mean? Does this actually mean that anyone who comes to you and says you are invited, you must accept the invite or you must accept the invitation? There are many rules that we have to keep in mind. So first thing is, if someone ever comes to you and invites you, you have to make it very clear if you can go or not go. Yes, there are some circumstances where you say, I have to get back to you. There's nothing wrong in saying that. If you say something like that, there's nothing wrong in saying that. Number two, if you don't want to you don't want to accept an invitation, why? Because there may be haram committed over there. And so forth, there might be dancing, there might be loud music and so forth. In that case, you are not required to accept the invite. Another important point, if you know that over there are other people who are going to be invited who are not going to be dressed properly, in that case also, you are not required to accept the invite. At the same time, we have to also keep in mind that if you should turn down an invite if you already are committed somewhere else. So if you are double booking yourself, that is not appropriate. If you already have a commitment with someone else, in our deen, you made a commitment with someone, you have to fulfill that commitment. Another thing that's also very important when it comes to accepting an invite, you are not required. In fact, you should not accept an invite to go anywhere if there are other people who are dependent on you. So for example, if you have senior parents and there's no one else who's going to look after them and you need to go, for example, you might get invited to some other city to go and speak or for any other engagement and you're leaving behind your parents, your senior parents. In that situation, a person should not be going. They should be looking after their sick ones or their loved ones. If there's a family situation where it is difficult for the family when one person is gone, in that case, you should kindly reject the offer or the invite and stay back with the family. Just to give you a perspective on this matter, think about the Battle of Badr. The Battle of Badr was one of the most illustrious battles in the history of Islam. One of the most illustrious of all the battles. Even in that situation, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a very well-known companion, okay, we all know, Uthman radiallahu anhu, did not participate in the Battle of Badr, by the way. Okay, many of the Sahaba participated in the Battle of Badr. If you study from an Aqidah perspective, the ranks of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, those who participated in Badr, they have one of the highest levels compared to all the other Sahaba. Uthman was not part of Badr. Why? Because Rasulullah told him that your wife, meaning his daughter, Zainab, was sick and you're not allowed to go. You need to stay behind and look after her. So even in such a great situation, a great event that's about to take place, the Prophet said, no, you stay behind and take care of your family. So that is why if there are people who are dependent on you in that situation, you should kindly refuse the invite. Also, it is very important that if there is a wide community invite, for example, a person says, everyone in the community is invited to my house, or everyone's invited to a certain place, and they did not come to you very specifically, okay, then that means that this is just a general announcement. If you go and you don't go, it does not matter. If you don't go, there's no harm. But there, you have to understand, there are some people who will say, I'm not going to go. Why? Because I not get a personal invite. It becomes an ego issue. You understand? It should not be an ego issue. If you are committed somewhere else and so forth, and you feel like you cannot go because there are other things that you have to take care of, then no problem. What should we do in Ramadan? Because Ramadan now is coming. Many people, they invite, especially for iftar dinners and so forth. Here's what I would say about this. You cannot go for an iftar dinner at the expense of your own worship. What does that mean? It means that if you know you're going to go to the invite and you're going to get so lazy afterwards that you will not be able to come for Taraweeh, you will not be able to pray Qiyam at night, then that is you compromising your worship to go to be part of some other invitation. That is why in that situation, if you know that you're going to go, just be part of the iftar part, come back right away, come to the masjid, be part of Salatul Isha, be part of Qiyamul Layl and so forth, then no problem. But there are most of the times when you see people going there, they will stay there, waste time over there, and then a lot of times they will even miss their Qiyam at that night. So we have to keep in mind, especially when it comes to Ramadan, that should not be the case. Another thing that's very important, especially when it comes to fasting, is if someone comes to you and they invite you very personally and you accept the invite and you say, okay, I will be there, then in that case, you know you are invited, it's on your calendar, and you know you're going to be there, of course, they're going to invite you, you're going to eat over there. In that situation, you should not be fasting, okay? You should not be fasting if you know upfront. Now, let's just say you get invited last second. You already are fasting, okay? In that situation, you can go. You're not required to break the fast for the invite, but you have to let the host know that you are fasting so that they don't take offense when you don't eat. So this is something that you have to keep in mind. And many ulama say that if you want to break the fast, let's just say you're fasting, it's an optional fast, it's a nafli fast. You wanna break your fast? You can break your fast. However, according to the Ahnaf, you have to keep this in mind. According to the Ahnaf, you have to make up the fast. If you are fasting an optional fast and you break your optional fast, then according to the Ahnaf, you have to make up that fast. Some of the other things that we have to keep in mind is you cannot put pressure on the host to invite someone else. Someone comes to you and says, I want to invite you and your family. Well, I'm going to come only if you invite that family too. You cannot do something like that. You understand? If someone's inviting you, you accept or don't accept. But to put it upon the host that they have to invite someone else is something that is not appropriate, and you should not do that. One cannot, also, you cannot bring someone. So you are invited, you come, but you bring two, three people other with you to that person's house. You can't do that kind of stuff. You understand? If you are invited, it's their house. Now, of course, the host is a host. He's not going to, out of a good heart, he's not going to say, okay, you know what? You come in, and the two, three people who you came with, they go back home. But also, it's not appropriate. Imagine if you were in the position of the host, and you invited someone, and they came, but they brought two, three other people with them. Imagine how you would feel. You would feel like as if your invite was not respected and dignified enough. So that is why we should not do that to anyone else. And if you must bring them along, let's just say you want to bring someone along, you must inform the host from before. Now, as far as the host is concerned, what are some of the things that we have to keep in mind if you are a host? Number one is, do not go out of your way to please other people. This is something that I have seen, and especially it happens in weddings. People are so obsessed with impressing other people that they will put themselves in debt just to please other people. And here, let me give you a dose of reality, which I'm sure all of you will agree with me on this. There is no pleasing other people. You cannot please other people at all. You might make one person happy, you might make few people happy, you might make others displeased. So there is no way you can make everyone happy. You do the best up to your ability, and that is it. Do not run after people's pleasure. By the way, I've given a lecture about this before too. Number two is, one should decide and dictate where everyone will sit. So you don't go, you know, I remember going to someone's house and the person says, where do you want to sit? So I told the host, you tell me where I have to sit, okay? Literally, this happened. I'm not making this up. I walked into someone's house. The person says, where do you want to sit? I'm like, this is not my house. This is your house. You tell me where to sit. So the host should decide where they should sit. Sometimes they might have the men upstairs, women downstairs. Sometimes they might have the men in the backyard, women inside the house. Whatever arrangement they have made, the guest has to respect the host. Also, it is very important that when people come, you should not delay in the food. Here's what happens in some circumstances. You've invited probably 10 families. 5 or 6 families have already come. But you have those few families who come late to every single event. They've made it their personal sunnah in life, okay? I'm gonna come late at all cost. In that situation, you do not delay the food for those 2-3 families who have not showed up. Let me give you an example why. Ibrahim alayhi salam, when the malaika were on their way to go and destroy Qawmi Lut, they made a stop where? First at the house of Ibrahim alayhi salam, to give him the glad tidings that his wife Sarah will have a child by the name of Ishaq. At that time, as soon as they came, Ibrahim alayhi salam, he made salam to them. They responded to salam. And immediately Ibrahim alayhi salam went to go prepare some food for the guest. So that is why we learn from this. And the ulama, what they have deduced from this is, when the guests come, go ahead and get started with the food. Why? If you wait for those 2-3 families who always come late, and they will come much later, what you're doing is, you think that you are respecting them, but what you're doing is you're disrespecting those who have come to your home. Because for them, time is very important. And if you have called them, they may have some other commitments. So they have respected your request. If you tell them to come at 7, okay? And by the way, a host, if you want people to come at 7, then you say 7. And you let people know that it's 7 o'clock. We have this unfortunate sunnah in our community that, especially on wedding cards, it says 6 o'clock, they're like, I'm going to go 9 o'clock. Like, ajib, you know? So it's a problem on our part, by the way. We have spoiled others. When you go anywhere else and it says 6 o'clock, you're going to be there at 5:45. Okay, if it's an interview, you're going to be there at 5:30, pray 2 rakah salat, and then you're going to go inside your interview place. This is how we do things. But when it comes to other people's invites and so forth, we need to be very particular about time. And here's the thing. We have become so accustomed to this that we know that people are going to come late, so we keep this trend going. It takes only a few families to lay down the law in the entire community, to lay down the standard in the entire community. A few families, if they, over and over again, they say 6 o'clock, 6:30, dinner will be served, and they actually serve dinner at 6:30, trust me, everyone is gonna follow accordingly. But what has become is, everyone is doing the same thing over and over again. So that is why we have to be very particular when it comes to time. So if the guests come to you, give them, then you should serve dinner as soon as possible, or lunch, or whatever it may be. And lastly, when they're about to leave as a host, this is something that we find from the ulama, not necessarily from the seerah of the Prophet ﷺ, but when you leave them all the way to the door. You don't sit there where you are and say, assalamu alaikum, and go. You understand? Take them all the way to the door, or say assalamu alaikum to them, greet them, and let them be on their way. Now, as a guest, a few things that we have to keep in mind. Number one is, we arrive on time. We just talked about that. Number two is, as soon as the food is over, there are people who want to sit there and they do which we know as gupshup, okay? You know, just want to sit there and for hours and hours just want to talk and talk and talk, okay? And talking about politics and politics and politics and politics, okay? So that's why it's very important. We learn from the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْتَشِرُوا وَلَا مُسْتَأْنِسِينَ لِحَدِيثٍ. When the Prophet alayhi salam invited some people, the Prophet, Allah says, فَإِذَا طَعِمْتُمْ, when you have eaten, فَانْتَشِرُوا, go ahead and leave. So we have to make sure that we follow this custom that, yes, after food, there might be some dessert, there might be some chit-chat and so forth, but after that, we should not stay there for long. Why? Because once you leave, the host has to clean up afterwards. So we have to be respectful of their home and to be respectful of their time, especially when it comes to like someone who is sick or if you are visiting someone who has lost a loved one in their family, you cannot just show up at their door because it puts a lot of pressure on the family. Number three, do not criticize the food. Okay, there are times when people will sit there and the host has gone away and they're like, you know? So the thing is that, so that's why you have to be very careful. You understand? Like, what is he feeding us? You understand? What kind of food is this? And so forth. You go to someone's house, they've called you with their heart, you accept with your heart, and whatever they have given you, you eat that, inshallah. Okay? Number four, if you are staying at someone's house for a period of time, then you should not accept anyone else's invitation outside without their permission. If you are staying, once again, you are a guest, someone tells you, you stay at my home for 3-4 days, for example, then in that case, and they say, we're going to take care of you, we're going to feed you, inshallah, we'll look after you. In that case, you're not supposed to be accepting anyone else's invitation outside without letting them know and without their permission. Next is, especially when you go to someone's houses, okay, and especially if you see like an Amazon package, what is in here, you know? Going through people's personal things is not appropriate, okay? You see some letters, and like, what's that? You know? So it's not appropriate. So that's why staying out of people's personal matters is extremely important when you go to someone's house. Also, when you go to someone's house, a lot of times you'll notice the host, if he wants to make sure that no one goes into a certain room, they will close that door, okay? You don't go into that room and say, let me see what's inside this place, okay? No, you keep the door closed. If they have closed the door, you respect that. If they have turned off the lights of a room and the door is open, that means that they still don't want anyone to go inside, then you should not go inside unless they tell you that, okay, you know what, you can go inside in that room, then you're allowed to. Otherwise, people should not be going into other rooms. Also, touching things, especially we got to teach our children about these kind of things. When they go, they touch things. Okay, ye kya hai? What's this? What's that? What's this? What's that? And so forth. We have to be very careful about that. And also, I will add to this. If your child goes somewhere, or you go somewhere, or someone from your family goes somewhere, and they break something, it is your faridah, it is your obligation, that at least you get back in touch with the host and you say that, what is the cost? Let me pay. And a lot of times they might say, no, don't worry about it, and so forth. If you know exactly what you broke, just order the same exact thing and give it back to them. You understand? Or if you know how much the value of it is, at least send it to them. Show a kind gesture. Yes, the host will say, obviously, don't worry about it. Okay? Of course, they would say, don't worry about it, but you do. We have to do our obligation, and that is that if someone has broken something of theirs from our family, we got to take responsibility. Also, it's very important that we don't, especially when people come together, let's just say the host speaks only English. I'm just giving you just a rough example. The host speaks only English, and people are there chit-chatting in other languages. It's not appropriate, you understand? Because they don't know what you're talking about and so forth. So always speak the language that is common amongst everyone. It keeps, you know, the hearts together. If you start speaking other languages, then it becomes problematic. Also, when it comes to gatherings at people's houses, there are times where, you know, you're going to find some people who are just, they love to talk. They just love to talk. And sometimes they will talk so loud that they overtake all the other conversations that are taking place. So even if you're talking, then make sure you keep your tone in a moderate level. Also, is something very important. I've talked about this before. I'm going to remind everyone. You cannot go to someone's house and say, is this food halal? Okay? It happens so often. Is this halal? No, it's haram. Kaya. Okay? Eat. Okay? You can't do that kind of stuff. If you are doubtful, like there are some people who are very, very particular about where they buy their meat and so forth. I respect that. I totally respect that. But if you are in doubt and you feel like that you have some doubts about the person and where they buy their chicken from and their meat from and so forth, simply don't go to their house. Don't go to their house. But to go to someone's house and you're about to dig in and you're like, is it chicken halal? Is it zabiha? You understand? that this is not appropriate. And wallahi, there are people who are doing this till today. You understand? So that is why it's something that we need to cut out. If you're not comfortable with what kind of food they're going to offer, or you know that, okay, they buy their meat and chicken from a place where you're not comfortable with, simply don't go to their homes. That is important to understand. And lastly, I will say this, that do not interfere with the arrangement with the host. So if the host says people sit here, people eat here and so forth, it is not allowed for us as a guest that we interfere with the arrangements made by the host. So these are things that we have to keep in mind, these akhlaq and adab. And by the way, the reason why I'm mentioning all this is because, number one, it's a reminder for all of us, because what we are as Muslims, what we are known for, and what makes us different than everyone else is the fact that we have these adab and we have this akhlaq. And it's important that we also teach our children about these kind of things. I said this last week, I'm going to say it again. You have to keep on repeating it when it comes to the children, inshallah. Keep on repeating it, keep on reminding them, inshallah, and this will become education for them down the road. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant all of us the tawfiq. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the adab and the akhlaq that we have been taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ameen rabbil alameen. Wa jazakumullah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
إن المسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات والقانتين والقانتات والصادقين والصادقات والصابرين والصابرات والخاشعين والخاشعات والخاشعين والخاشعات والمتصدقين والمتصدقات والصائمين والصائمات والحافظين فروجهم والحافظات والذاكرين الله كثيرا والذاكرات أعد الله لهم مغفرة وأجرا عظيما.